Hey, this is Jeff Jarrett, the King of the Mountain and founder of Global Force Wrestling. And you're listening to Another Wrestling Podcast.
It's time for Another Wrestling Podcast.
Are you ready to beat the man? You have to beat the man.
What you gonna do when Hulkamania destroys you?
The kid, you dig that sucker!
Have a nice day!
The champ is here!
With your hosts, Steve Credo and Jonathan Benjamin.
All right. Welcome everybody to another wrestling podcast. I'm Steve Credo.
And I'm Jonathan Benjamin. And Steve, I'm going to get into the little faux pas that you did last week. Whenever you said that it's going to be the best show ever, that's called gimmick infringement, my friend. But today's show is possibly the best show ever.
And I'm going to hold you to it, Jonathan, because over the past year, you know, we've talked a lot about WWE.
We also talked TNA.
And, well, we honestly just talked recently a lot of Ring of Honor.
And we even talked about New Japan Pro Wrestling.
But, Jonathan, all in all, there's a new show on the block, and it's debuting this week called Global Force Wrestling.
That's right, Credo. Joining us today is the man who started it all. That's J-E-F-F-J-A-R-R-E-T-T. Jeff Jarrett will be joining us in just a little bit to talk GFW.
All right. Well, before we get into some GFW talk, Jonathan, once again, guys and girls and children of all ages, if you're listening right now, head on over to anotherwrestlingpodcast.com. You'll find our links for Facebook and Twitter and Stitcher and iTunes. So like us, follow us, subscribe to us. It helps us out just by clicking a little button. So guys, head on over to anotherwrestlingpodcast.com. You'll find all of our links and all of the other past shows that we have done, all the other 56 episodes that you didn't hear or you might have heard or some that you might just haven't heard yet. So make sure you head on over there and check it out. Jonathan, Global Force Wrestling. It's the new kid on the block. What have you heard about the roster? I think the first thing we should just get right into is, who's going to be on Global Force Wrestling?
Well, I think that that's probably the most important thing above all else is, why am I going to tune into the show? Why am I going to go to these shows? I need to have some real depth in my talent roster. And if you get on and look at what they've got, they did a really cool thing. They announced it via social media, which I thought was a really innovative idea. It was almost like whenever they do the roster reveal for the WWE 2K games. So obviously Jeff Jarrett's a part of it and his wife Karen Jarrett. But then on top of that, we got to see people like the Young Bucks. That's arguably the greatest tag team in the world of professional wrestling right now. They're obviously a lightning rod for controversy, and a lot of the independent people, just really, really the IWC, as we've been called, really, really like the Young Bucks. So I think that's a great addition to any roster. Steve, was there somebody that you thought that kind of jumped out right out of the box to you?
Well, you mentioned the Young Bucks, but there's also Carl Anderson and Doc Gallows, part of the Bullet Club, who the Young Bucks are also a part of the Bullet Club over in New Japan Pro Wrestling. So this is kind of, you know, the American debut, if you will, of the Bullet Club on one show. Not all of them, but I mean some of them. So that might be interesting to see if they play that out a little bit, because, you know, back in the day we had, you know, the NWO and DX and whatnot. So the Bullet Club's kind of the big thing right now. And so I'm curious to see how they use them on Global Force Wrestling to see, you know, we're going to have a few other people on there. You know, the Young Bucks, Carl Anderson, Doc Gallows, and Amber Gallows, the Bullet Babe, you know, you got a good part of the Bullet Club on one show. So I think seeing them on one show, I'm kind of curious to see what they're going to do with. So, I mean, that's just a few things I would like to see, or at least, you know, be brought to the attention of everybody else and what they've been up to with this whole Bullet Club stable.
Well, I have to say that I'm looking through the roster, and I see some what I like to call veterans in the business. Two people stand out to me that I'm really interested in what they're going to do, if they're actually going to be wrestling or if they're going to have more of like a a veteran role where they'll be teaching, or I'm just not for sure, but that's Hacksaw Jim Duggan and the always crazy Scott Steiner. So I am very interested in what roles. Are they going to be like commissioners? They have a lot of combined experience in the world of professional wrestling, and I think that they can help a roster out. It's just exactly what are they going to do? I have no clue right now.
That's right. Former WWE Tag Team Champion Davey Boy Smith Jr. will be actually on the roster now too, and he's been working in Japan for quite a while now. So to see him come back and be on a main show like this is it's going to be nice for me. You know, old Heart Foundation reminiscing.
Oh my god!
But that's not just because of that. But I am curious to see how he's been doing. I thought he left the WWE way too soon. I hope to see what he does in Global Force Wrestling, because you know that's where he's going to be now. So it should be interesting. But Jonathan, one guy we talked about last week, Shelton Benjamin is making his debut on Global Force Wrestling now. You know, he's been out of the WWE for a little bit. He's been on Ring of Honor. Now he's in Global Force Wrestling. So I'm kind of curious to see what Shelton's been up to and what could we see out of, you know, some of the possible matches with other roster members like Trent Beretta or even Chris Sabin versus a Shelton Benjamin. What do you think about that?
Well, I'll still say he is no relation, but Shelton Benjamin is one of the, if not the most underrated talents in the world of professional wrestling. That is a fact. There is no denying that. And I hope that with Global Force Wrestling, Shelton Benjamin gets his due. It's about time. That's all I can say. But we mentioned the Bullet Babe, Amber Gallows, but a past member of our roster, if you will, is none other than Thea Trinidad, formerly known as Rosita. She will be joining Global Force Wrestling. Now, she was a great talent in TNA, and I think that she's going to add a little something special to Global Force Wrestling. But I'm really going to, when we talk to Jeff, I want to pick his brain a little bit about his thoughts with women's wrestling, because it's such a hot topic right now. And there's not a ton of women on his roster, so hopefully we can get to the bottom of that. But Steve, is there anybody else just that you can see that just really intrigues you as to what part they're going to play in this roster?
Sure. So, like, you know, the newest, biggest thing everybody's watching is NXT. NXT has brought in a lot of indie guys, you know, these main guys on the indies, you know, who have proven themselves and kind of their WWE's brought them over. But I know we're not speaking about that. But there's a lot of guys who they haven't got who are incredible indie talents, such as Jigsaw, Chuck Taylor, and Luke Hawks, just to name a few. These guys have, you know, been around the block, if you will. And now they're with a new kid on the block, Global Force Wrestling. So I'm kind of excited for these indie stars to get a major spotlight like Global Force Wrestling. So what an incredible roster, Jonathan, from top to bottom. A lot of fun things are in store, and who knows what could happen with GFW in the days to come.
Absolutely. Now, Steve, we have to really get into this a little bit more, but before that, I want to talk about their social media presence. Like I mentioned earlier, they're very high on social media right now. They have a Twitter, they have an Instagram, they have a website, they have a Facebook, just like us. Now, if you're listening to this right now, the best way for you to get involved in the action with us is to tweet us. We always check our Twitter, and that is at @AWrestlingPod. That's @AWrestlingPod. Talk to us, maybe tweet us and Jeff Jarrett, letting him know that you listen to this show and possibly some of the people that you'd like to see on his roster. So, once again, tweet us at @AWrestlingPod.
I'm psyched about this, Jonathan. You know, you have all the other companies from WWE to TNA to Ring of Honor, New Japan. Global Force Wrestling is definitely that new kid on the block, and I'm kind of excited to see what they get out of their first year, especially their first week. You know, debuting this Friday, they have a lot of great live events in store. But Jonathan, a little bit unique live event touring they got going right now, which is a stadium tour. Now, you know, there's a lot of stadium shows going on recently, but, you know, to debut a show in a bunch of stadiums, how do you think that's going to hold and, you know, just put his GFW on the map? Do you think it's a good idea, a bad idea?
Well, I'll ask you. You were at Citi Field the other day for Legends of Wrestling, Now, what did you think about that event in general?
Well, Jonathan, I think it's great doing it at stadiums, especially now in the summer. You know, it's hit or miss sometimes with the rain or shine, but I mean, depending on your location, it's usually a great time. But the one thing, Jonathan, and I think what's smart about GFW and what they're doing is that they're doing minor league baseball stadiums. Now, I went to the show this weekend at a major league baseball stadium at Citi Field in New York and Queens, and the only bad thing about that is you put the ring in the middle, but all the seats and stuff are so far away. You're just watching the Jumbotron to see what's happening. I mean, it's really so far away that you really can't enjoy it being so far away in a stadium. But I do give kudos to Global Force Wrestling and any other promotion that's doing shows at a stadium, because you know, the minor league stadiums, they're a lot smaller, but that doesn't mean how, you know, it's more intimate. It's what I'm trying to get to where they put the stadium, you know, over a pitcher's mound, and no matter where you sit, it's a good time. And that's what I think what's great about these minor league shows is that no matter where you sit, it's outside, it's a great night, and you get to see a lot of great wrestling. So I think that's the one snafu of having wrestling in an open stadium, to where if it is a baseball stadium, you better make sure it's WrestleMania and you sell that out top to bottom, or else, you know, you don't know what you're looking at. So unless it's a big event like a WrestleMania or whatnot, okay. But if not, keep them in these local stadiums. And I think that's the key to, you know, getting a lot of great exposure in all these towns.
Yeah, no, I think that this is one of those really cool things about Global Force Wrestling is that they aren't afraid to, you know, reinvent the wheel, really, because right now they're starting kind of from the ground up. So Jeff Jarrett, he was involved with a lot of different promotions over the years, dating back to USWA. He was in the WWF. He was in WCW. He was in WWE. So he's in by no way, shape, or form new to the professional wrestling business. So I think to have Jeff Jarrett as a founder of a new promotion, he sees and he's embracing all this stuff. So where a lot of promoters may look at something and say, you know what, I don't know if that's going to be a good idea, I can't take that risk, he's willing to take that risk. So you're seeing a lot of these things come out whenever you see what he's doing for Global Force Wrestling. So to have it in the stadiums, I think, is a great place to start. Obviously, he's going to be doing some TV tapings. And so hopefully we can see where this will go, if he'll get a TV deal, because right now there's a lot of wrestling on TV. So to have one more option is not necessarily a bad thing. But Steve, is there anything else that you can think about as far as Global Force Wrestling that you find pretty entertaining or interesting going forward?
You know, I'm a big arts person. I'm a big, you know, a visual person. I love the logo. I love how, you know, it's little things like that, though, honestly, because like when you're representing a company, you put all your stuff together, you got to dress it up. You got to dress it up with character. You got to give them colors. You got to give them, you know, that stamp of approval. And, you know, instead of just throwing this company together with, you know, just half-assing it, you know, they really went out of the way. They really got some great graphics. They got the color scheme going, the blues and greens and stuff. And I know it's ridiculous, but as an artist coming from it, you know, I really like that it's all tying together like that. So simple things like that, Jonathan, do it for me, to where, you know, you got a great logo, you got a great color scheme, and then it just everything ties together, especially when you put the whole roster behind that logo and whatnot. You know, you're really making a brand for yourself. And like you said, he's starting from the ground up. But in a way, he's not really starting from the ground up, if you know what I mean, to where just his experience, you know, he's done this with TNA. He started TNA with his father, to where he has that experience of doing it from the ground up. And now, you know, he's just doing it again. So I think he's learned a lot of mistakes he might have done in the past with TNA that maybe we don't look at it as mistakes, but maybe in his mind, maybe something just wasn't right when he did it the first time, to where a lot of people don't get a second chance, Jonathan. And I think this is kind of like his big second chance. And I think, you know, I think he's learned a lot from his past, and I think we're going to see a lot of great stuff in the near future. So, I mean, I think this is, you know, a lot different from TNA that what we're seeing now. You know, it's a whole new book, Jonathan. I think it's just, you know, he's righting the wrongs and just, you know, making it better, I think, in my mind, if I had to put two and two together.
Well, another thing with Jeff Jarrett that's really interesting is that he could still be an active competitor. And sometimes you see people who have promotions that they're wrestlers or whatever, and they get involved. Now, do you think, as just a casual fan, that Jeff Jarrett should wrestle as far as being a full-time competitor, or should he just kind of stay behind the scenes on this?
I would like to see a nice little curtain call kind of thing for him. I'd like to see him go out in his own promotion to where I would love to see him be the first Global Force Wrestling champion, the first GFW champion. Hold it for a little bit and then, you know, pass that title on to whoever who could beat him in his roster. So I think, you know, building the company, becoming the first champion, I think would really be cool for him. It's one is one, you know, it's his one last go at it. And, you know, he is pretty much done with wrestling in the ring, but I think he's got a lot to offer still behind the scenes. And I don't know, I think deep down inside, I think I would like to see him as the champion for just a little bit to pass it on. So should be interesting.
Now, we've seen this happen before, and I almost wonder if we could get this sort of thing happening again. Right now, the WWE is being fed by their own little system called NXT. And TNA, for a while, was being fed from Ohio Valley Wrestling, OVW. So maybe we see Global Force Wrestling, if they, let's say they don't get a TV deal, or maybe it's not as big a DVD deal as some of the others, maybe Global Force Wrestling is a feeder system for some of these other bigger promotions, say Ring of Honor, maybe TNA. I mean, heck, if they get big enough, maybe WWE's taking a look at some of these new people. So I think the sky's the limit, really, for Global Force Wrestling. It's something that they're kind of reinventing the wheel, like we mentioned, and I really hope this goes well for Jeff Jarrett, because he's really one of those people that they talk about who was a fan of wrestling, and wrestling has been his entire life. I don't think that there's ever been a time when Jeff Jarrett didn't think about professional wrestling. So I wish him nothing but the best. And I think that Global Force Wrestling, it's already created a buzz. Now it's just trying to fulfill that buzz that they created, and I am looking forward to it. I cannot wait to see what they do.
That's right, Jonathan. I think they're going to surprise a lot of people. I think off the bat, people might think, all right, it's probably going to take some time to get there. But I think, I don't know, I think he's going to throw all of his eggs into one basket, hit all those home runs on the first shot he can to let people know that, you know, Global Force Wrestling is a force to be reckoned with. And I don't think, you know, he's gonna go in lightly with this. And I think, you know, a lot of people are going to be surprised at the end of the day. But, Jonathan, we talked a lot about Global Force Wrestling. Let's talk to the man who started it all. Jeff Jarrett is joining us right now in the studio.
All right, joining us today is a wrestler, a promoter, and not only is he a legend in the business, but the driving force behind the newly formed Global Force Wrestling. Please welcome Jeff Jarrett. Jeff, thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you, guys. I appreciate you giving me some time today. It's a lot of things going on in my world, and Global Force Wrestling just getting launched with our Grand Slam Tour, so I'm excited to talk about that, promote it, and just have a good time with it.
All right, as we mentioned, you have been highly successful in the world of professional wrestling. With all your success in and out of TNA in recent years, you did then decide to start from the ground up to create an entirely new promotion in GFW. What got you to do that?
You said it. It's in my blood. It is. My family has been in the business for over 70 years, dating back to the 1940s. My grandmother did just about everything but wrestle. And then she worked her way up, and what you'd call now as a CFO. And then my dad, he promoted first in high school and then right out of high school. And then he wrestled, and then he went back to promoting. So it's a family business. It's something I've got a lot of passion for. You know, this day and age, 2015, it's a different world that obviously that my grandmother grew up in promoting and my dad grew up in promoting. And business has changed drastically just the way, and when I say business, I mean the content business, the distribution business, the promotion business, just the world is so much of a, I'll call it a smaller place because we're all connected. So I got passion for it, and I really felt the time was right.
Now, speaking of TNA, you and your father created it back in 2002. What lessons did you learn from that experience that you used when creating GFW?
You know, we're all the sum total of all of our experiences in life, good, bad, or indifferent. And you know, I've learned, you know, day by day, month by month in this business. And I'm in my 29th year of actually earning a living out of a professional wrestling business. So you learn every year that goes by. And the one thing that really, to me, as I've stated just now, that how business has changed, the world, to create a brand from the ground up, from scratch, it takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of effort. It, quite frankly, takes a lot of patience. And so I'll say that I'm a more patient man than I was 12 years ago. And that we've strategically rolled this out, methodically rolled this out, and just creating a brand awareness. And like I said, it does take a lot of time and effort. And it's something that, you know, I'm working diligently to just do exactly that, create that brand awareness, these Grand Slam tours. We're excited, the matchups, and we can talk about that in a little bit later, but as far as promoting it, we partner with these minor league teams across the country, and we're basically getting into the DNA of their fan base and partnering with their media partners, whether it be radio or cable television or network television, the newspapers. And so going back to creating that brand awareness, and you know, I'm very happy. Been going around the country, throwing out first pitches. Been to Iowa, been to Erie, Pennsylvania, Appleton, Wisconsin, Lake County, up in Ohio, right outside of Cleveland, Jackson, Mississippi, Jackson, Tennessee, Knoxville, Tennessee, Bowling Green, Kentucky, and just creating that brand awareness is so important these days. We were on CBS Sports, the minor league baseball game of the week a couple of weeks ago out in Round Rock, Texas, and had the opportunity to get on their airways just to expose the brand of Global Force Wrestling.
Sure. Now, what have been some of the biggest challenges with starting a promotion from the ground up?
You know what? Starting any type of business, a lemonade stand, a computer company, a banking firm, a law firm, a doctor, you're going to have challenges of any startup business has. And so, you know, it's all part of the game, but I go back to, you know, again, creating that brand awareness is so important, and that's sort of at the very top of my priorities. But it's something that I love to do, and it's part of the professional wrestling business.
Now, you've been on a whirlwind lately, like you said, promoting shows and getting ready for the debut of Global Force Wrestling. There's so many other companies out there right now. What sets GFW apart from those companies?
You know, I'm not going to say this completely sets us apart, but it's because all the other companies do it. But we're going to be highly engaged. We're definitely going to be, you know, not on a daily basis, but almost an hourly basis on all of our platforms, all of our social media platforms, at GFW Wrestling, GlobalForceWrestling.com. We're going to be very interactive, very engaging, and that's part of this Grand Slam promotional tour. It's one of the things I really like about it. I get to throw out the first pitch and do some radio, but I'm signing autographs for a couple of innings, and fans are coming up and saying, hey, how can I join the street team? And I give them the at GFW street team Twitter handle, and hey, how can I do this? Or we want to see this. Or they'll come up and tell me and say, hey, have you seen wrestler X who wrestles for this local promotion? And that's all interactive engagement. And that's a lot of fun. And then as far as our in-ring product, we're going to take a little bit of the best from all around the world. Everybody saw Wrestle Kingdom 9. If you're a wrestling fan, you've certainly heard about it. That strong style, New Japan, hard-hitting action is going to be an element. We're going to have an element, obviously, of Lucha Libre, the pageantry, and everything that goes with that. And so we're going to have a mix of blends, but everybody on the card is going to have one thing in common, and that's a passion for this business and a passion to compete. And when I say compete, the world knows professional wrestling is not true sport, but it's very competitive. The guys, they want to be in the main event. They want to have the ability to have the best match on the card or certainly the hottest move or a new move. So there's a level of competition that has always gone on in this business, and we're going to bring that to the forefront. You know, obviously there's storytelling in sport. There's storytelling, obviously, in movies and television and all this. And we're going to have stories, but we're going to document them. because every athlete that steps in a GFW ring has a real story behind them on why they do what they do. Why do they want to become champion? Why do you make the sacrifices, whether it's physical sacrifice or it's emotional with your family, all those type things. We want to document and really bring to the forefront who these athletes are.
Now, speaking of athletes, you have an amazing roster right now. Names like the Young Bucks, Chris Masters, PJ Black, Shelton Benjamin, and many more have already been signed. How do you decide on how did you decide on who you wanted for your roster?
Well, and I said it earlier, passion. The guy's got to have a passion for this industry. Yes, you can have a very lucrative career financially in the wrestling business, but above all, you got to want it. And that money will follow that passion. So that's right at the very top. And then me as a guy who's been around and I've surrounded myself with what I believe a real diverse, unique, forward-thinking team. And we look at it, we're all wrestling fans. What do you want to see? Do you want to see what types of matchups do you want to see? And I think that, you know, our first four shows we've got laid out there, and it's really unique competitive matchups. The Bullet Club, I'll use an example. Doc and Carl, literally the hottest tag team in the world, the hottest faction, in the world. And they're referring to two guys that are, I'll call them, lesser known as the new Heavenly Bodies. And so you don't think that the Heavenly Bodies are going to step their game up and do everything they can to really prove that they belong in the ring? That's what it's about, that level of competition. When you have an established team like Gunn and Gallows, stepping into a ring with guys that are trying to get their career off the ground. And I could go on and on and on. Moose out of Ring of Honor Wrestling, he's you know, a 6-7 year NFL lineman, but he's a rookie in this sport. And so he's got a lot to prove. Sanjay Dutt, a seasoned vet, is he going to be able to, you know, stay on par with these guys that are, you know, maybe a little bit younger than him? Not that Sanjay by any stretch old, but, you know, he's had a national TV and an international TV run. I just go on and on and on the list. Thea Trinidad is a girl who got in this business at a young age and a really unique story behind her, that her father passed away in the 9/11 attacks. And sort of that gave her the inspiration to become a professional wrestler. And now she's been in the game four, five, 6 years, and now she's really ready to step into her prime. So I could go on and on and on and on about each individual story of the GFW athletes. That's the type of thing that really, really excites me.
Well, you just mentioned Thea Trinidad, including your wife and a few others on your roster right now. There's not a ton of women. Now, do you plan on expanding that as the future goes?
Absolutely. And very carefully, but without question, we're going to expand. I've always been a huge fan of good women's professional wrestling. I think it can be compelling. I think it can be so relatable to the women in the audience. It's just the short answer is absolutely we're going to be expanding.
All right. Now, as it stands right now, what is your ultimate goal with GFW?
You know, it's a business, and you're either going to have red ink or black. And I prefer black. And so that's what any business is about, is being profitable. And that's on the business side. From a more of a promotional side, that we want to be engaging. We want to put out a brand of professional wrestling that is universally accepted, and that we want people to come to our show and leave wanting more. It's that simple of what you do, whether you're the movie business or the sporting business or music business. You want the audience to leave wanting more. That's really a goal.
Now, you mentioned Wrestle Kingdom 9 and New Japan Wrestling earlier in the interview. Do you see a partnership with New Japan going forward in the future?
I mean, we've got an alliance, we're in relationships with 13 promotions around the world. So, we were the short answer is yes. You know, they reached out to us last year and we promoted and brought Jim Ross on board. So the jumping off point with that relationship, I don't think could have gone any better. And I'm looking forward to working with them in the future.
All right. Now, your touring schedule is pretty busy starting June 12th, going all the way through August so far. You're going to be running a lot of minor league stadiums. Why did you choose these instead of arenas?
Real simple, just what I stated earlier. We want a partner. We could go to Mid-Epsom Civic Center in the kitchen where you guys are at. We could go to, you know, any arena, armory, stadium. I mean, not say any building, and you could go in and rent it, full wallet, pay for insurance, and pay for rent, and pay for advertising, and all that. But we chose to really strategically partner with minor league teams across the country. Their existing fan bases. They're obviously, if you've gone to a minor league stadium anywhere in the country, you know that there's not a bad seat in the house. Having a roasted show outside in the summertime, it's just a unique experience. We're going to be having a VIP experience at these stadiums, which turns out to be really cool. So we wanted to partner with great promotional partners, and that's what minor league baseball organizations are.
Now, you're obviously going to be at these stadiums for a while, but when you keep going a little bit further on down the line, do you have any specific arenas that in mind that you eventually want to go to? Like, what would be your ultimate arena that you could have GFW at?
Oh, I mean, you name it, the who's who. There's no need for us to discuss it right now, but the obvious ones are the obvious ones.
Yes.
As any promoter, you would want to run the marquee, the legendary buildings in the cities that we tour.
You've pretty much done it all as far as your career in wrestling has been. Is there any accomplishment, though, that you are most proud of?
You know what? Those type questions, I love for you guys to answer and talk about the what-ifs and that. But, you know, when you become a world champion, that's a very gratifying, satisfying moment in any wrestler's career and things of that nature. But you know what? The experience is on a day-to-day and a show-to-show and a town-to-town that you remember, and those are the type of things that, you know, you enjoy. But I'll leave that up to you guys, the best accomplishment.
Okay. It's been asked a lot, I'm sure, in your other interviews, but are you at a plateau with your in-ring career? Do you think that there's anything left for you to accomplish as far as wrestling in GFW, or do you think that you'll probably stay away from in-ring competition?
I do know for a fact, but my in-ring days have come to a screeching halt. I'm not going to say I'm retired. I'm not going to say I'm going on a retirement tour, but my days of being an in-ring performer as my priority are long behind me, and I want to focus on promoting GFW, creating that brand awareness, and really giving these guys an opportunity to step on a stage that some of them have never been on before and let them shine and let them, you know, step up and either swing and miss or knock it out of the park. And I hope all of them get a chance to knock it out of the park.
All right. And finally, what would you say to someone who is maybe still on the fence about attending a GFW show?
It's real simple. If you're on the fence, lean our way because we will not disappoint. I am dead set, and we're promoting and working tirelessly that when you show up to a GFW Grand Slam event, tickets start as low as $10, very affordable, and you're going to have access to the wrestlers. We're going to have a 5:30 VIP meet break with the GFW legend and 6 to 8 wrestlers, and myself and Karen will be accessible. But it, all eyes are going to be at 7:30 when the show starts, and we have 6 or 7 matches. And though that professional wrestling will speak for itself, and so that's why I'm saying, if you're on the fence, to use your vernacular, that jump off that fence and come join and join the force.
All right.
Now, where can we learn more about Global Force Wrestling? You mentioned the Twitter handle earlier on, and I know there's a website, but where can people find out more about it?
We've got a freshly, newly designed website. It's GlobalForceWrestling.com. That's GlobalForceWrestling.com. It's got all the details about the Grand Slam shows, our YouTube channel link. It's got the Orleans ticket information. It's got anything you need to know as it relates to Global Force Wrestling. Go to that site. And then my Twitter is at RealJeffJarrett. And like I said, all the social platforms for GFW are at GFW Wrestling.
All right, Jeff. Well, we really appreciate your time today. And me and Jonathan, we can't wait to check out Global Force Wrestling in person.
Great, great. Looking forward to it. I appreciate your time today, and I do. I appreciate your promotion of the brand.
Can't wait to see a little bit more from Jeff Jarrett. So hopefully he can come back on, talk to us a little bit more whenever he's got a few shows under his belt.
Community calendar.
June 27th, the New England Fan Fest 5 in Providence, Rhode Island. Head on over to newenglandfanfest.com right now. We are going to be there doing live shows. We're going to be talking to a lot of people out there. But guys, this is unlike any other convention you have been to. You can have a VIP dinner, meet and greet with a lot of the talent the night before. There's going to be the New England Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame event going on that Saturday night. During the day is the convention. You can meet and greet stars such like Jim Ross, Bill Goldberg, Jim Cornette, and many others, guys. Head on over to newenglandfanfest.com. Can't stress it enough. Get your tickets today. You don't want to be left out for this.
That's right, Steve. And we're also going to be at Northeast Wrestling's Wrestling Under the Stars for August 1st, 2015 in Fishkill, New York. You'll get to see such legends as Ric Flair, Mickey James, Alberto El Patron, Rey Mysterio Jr., The Young Bucks, Jerry the King Lawler, NXT's own Samoa Joe, Northeast Wrestling Champion Matt Taven, Brian Anthony, the genius Lanny Poffo, and much, much more.
And coming up on July 18th from 12 to 2 p.m., Tito Santana will be in Beacon, New York at Tito Santana's Taqueria. No relation. But guys, head on over to tacosantana.com. Head on over to anotherwrestlingpodcast.com. Find out more information how you can meet and greet Tito Santana and get a free taco. Then next week we have Mean Gene Okerlund and Scott Stanford joining us, talking a little bit about some interviewers of the pro wrestling universe. We also have June 22nd, George the Animal Steel will be joining us, talking about some legends. And speaking of legends, Jonathan, as we are headed on our way to the New England Fan Fest, we're going to be talking to Jim Ross on June 25th, the weekend right before FanFest. Guys, so what a lineup. A lot of great guests coming up in the next few weeks, so make sure you subscribe to us and don't miss a show. It's easy, guys. Head on over, like Jonathan said, anotherwrestlingpodcast.com. Click on all the buttons on the top, all the links from iTunes to Stitcher to Player FM to TuneIn. We're out there. Like us, follow us, and subscribe to us. And Jonathan, if you're looking for some clothes to wear and you don't really have anything to wear for a night out on the town, and maybe you're going to a wrestling show and you just need a new shirt, well, head on over to prowrestlingtees.com/anotherwrestlingpodcast. Pick up some original AWP shirts.
We want to thank all of our fans and listeners out there. So tune in next week for
Another Wrestling Podcast.